Good morning. Good morning to a cloudy, sporadically drizzly Monday morning.
You know how to sell it.
I'm telling you. There's, you know, it's winter. Yeah. It sells itself.
Marianne and I were just talking and she said, you know, there's only 8.5 hours of daylight right now.
On another cheery note.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Welcome to Food Talk.
It's so fun here.
It is so fun here. I'm Marianne Myers. And the other voice there is my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda. Maybe we'll start.
Okay. Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm fine. As we welcome our listeners to the middle of a conversation we were already having.
I got my apron on.
You do?
Yeah, that's pretty lucky.
That's very lucky. And it's also a sign that you have been very busy. Holidays, I know, are crazy busy for you. So,
well, because I bake for a living. And that 8.5 hours of daylight, I make, of course, every baker in the universe makes, you know, cookie boxes for Christmas and treat boxes. And I had a bunch of them picked up this morning and it wasn't even light, so I felt like I was baking for a vampire, you know. I'd hate for you to melt in the sun. Here's your stuff.
I love the idea that vampires like cookies.
Oh,
I know.
That's not all they eat.
It's not cookies and milk, but no, anyway. So it's not only holidays, and we are knee deep in the hoopla, no matter what you celebrate or avoid celebrating. I'm raising my hand. You are in it. We're in it. We're surrounded by it. And so there's that going on, in addition to the fact that it's winter and we need hot food and we need to cook something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What are you cooking?
Well, I defrosted.
Yes. Good start. That's step one.
No, that's the truth. So, you know, I made a quiche a couple weeks ago, and it turns out I thought Dale didn't like the quiche, but he liked it, so I'm like, woohoo. So I made some pies last week, and every pie, like when I make a bottom pie crust, I put it in there, and I just use kitchen scissors, and I go snip, 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 so that the pie crust is right close to the edge. And there's little scraps, and I fold them up in, plastic wrap that I'd already used, and then I throw them away in a week. That's what I do. But I had a bunch of those little scraps, and I know because I bake, I use 10.5 ounces of pie crust for a bottom crust. And I had like 11¾ ounces, and I'm like, I got enough here for a pie crust. And it's only 5 days old, which is pretty old for a pie crust in the refrigerator, you know. And I had a whole bunch of eggs. And then because there's such a disparity right now between the egg prices in the grocery store and then at like the warehouse places, it's nearly threefold. It's really something. In fact, it is threefold. They are three times more by the dozen than they are by the five. So I have a bunch of eggs. And then, so the reason a couple weeks ago that I was going to make, this is such a long and boring story. I was going to make the quiches because I wanted to use up, I had half a gallon, a half and half I had to use up. Well, Dale and I looked everywhere. I knew exactly which fridge it was in and which shelf, and it was just not there. Dale looked too. We could not find it anywhere. So then I had milk and I had some heavy cream, so I mixed them together and I made the quiche. Well, then a few days ago, it just appeared, the half gallon.
What?
And it's not something I buy. I don't buy half a gallon. I bought it for a project, you know, and it was left over. And it's not like I bought it again and then forgotten. There it was, and it was still good. So, but it was such a surprise because we searched high and low. We searched so hard, both of us. Oh, who knows? And it was on the shelf it was supposed to be on, which was the most searched shelf. And there's not a lot of stuff in that fridge. It's just the weirdest thing. Anyway, there's some cloak over it. Ugh. So I had some elderly pie crust and I had some elderly
cream.
Yep, half and half. And then I'd had the idea back when the pie crust was still pretty good, like 4 days before, to make it. So I'd thawed out a bag of frozen spinach. So it'd been thawed out in the fridge for like 4 days. So I had some elderly spinach. And then I had some ham that I bought. And it turned out that Dale had been snacking it to the dogs and I didn't know it. And so he had just stuck it back in the fridge, like not in any kind of Tupperware or a Ziploc bag or anything. It was just in there like naked. So it was pretty grizzled, but it was okay.
It was a theme project. Yes. It was a theme project.
Only the eggs would pass inspection. So anyway, I made like the simplest possible quiche. And I am a firm believer in building layers of flavor. You know, if I'm going to make something like a quiche or anything, a frittata, anything like that, even an omelet, I'll saute some onions first, you know, and then add some kind of fresh herb to them almost always. You know, I mean, I will build layers of flavor. I salt it and I season at every layer. I just do. And so anyway, what I did is I just mixed half and half in eggs, some salt and pepper, the elderly spinach that I, you know, gave it a squeeze to get some of the juice out of it, the extremely grizzled ham. Oh, and I had some mozzarella cheese. And you know how like when shredded mozzarella cheese is truly elderly and it starts to form gum?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had some of that. And so that was the quiche. And it turned out great. Isn't that funny? And the thing I was most worried about was not having anything sauteed in there, because I really just dumped it all in the shell and stuck it in the oven and went, okay, go, you know. And it was just great. And so, I mean, quiche is such a, like a garbage, like, you know, like a food that you get rid of crap, just like you do when you're making like wontons or something like that. Everything that's in your, what do you call it? Vegetable hospice. That drawer in your refrigerator. So yeah, it turned out great.
Wow. You know, go figure.
Oh, I know.
Maybe there's something like, you know, with wine where things age and get better. Maybe that's it.
Oh, yes, yes. But it's so funny because I just put in, I mean, the least amount of effort that you possibly could. I only had mozzarella. Usually I have like four different kinds of cheeses.
Yeah.
But that gummy mozzarella was enough for the quiche, and it needed to all be used up because it was no longer cheese texture, you know? It was becoming like plastic explosive or something like that.
Art gum.
Isn't it art gum? You know? Isn't that funny, though?
Yeah, that's really crazy. I haven't made quiche for a very long time, but I make omelets and I make scrambles that are basically crustless.
Yeah,
you know, they're everything you would put in a quiche, but no pastry.
And I really like spinach quiche that way, crustless. Just put it in a pie dish. And
That's another really good way.
Yeah.
Yum. It makes me think of the Spanish tortilla, you know, the egg. It's a Spain thing, not a Latin America thing, which is not a flour tortilla. It's a egg thing. It's like a crustless quiche in a way. It's a baked egg thing. It's so good.
No, I don't know that.
And it is a tapas standard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's delicious. And it makes me think of that when you say crustless quiche. It makes me think I should be making one of those. I should. I'm going to do a pork loin tonight.
Oh, that's so funny, because I have a pork tenderloin that I'm going to do.
Yeah, me too.
How are you going to do it?
I'm going to do... Here's a whole another thing.
Okay.
I resent the term dry brine. Because
because it's just a rub.
And yeah, that's
it's like, I'm making watermelon carpaccio. No, you're not. You're just slicing watermelon. Good Lord. Use the words how they're supposed to be.
Stop.
Dry brine.
A dry brine.
It's like, do you need to make pork tenderloin precious? No.
No, you
just
don't.
Just cook it.
I'm going to actually rub it with black truffle salt, which I really like.
Ooh.
And let it just sit for like 30 minutes before it goes in the oven. It just is, to me, a way to add a little something without being too precious, of course.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do that, roast pork tenderloin and make some applesauce, because I like warm applesauce with that. And
that's a good idea.
Horseradish. I usually just serve the applesauce in a little ramekin with a dollop of horseradish on top of it. It's a good thing to add to a bite of roast pork, I think.
Nice.
And I'm trying to do more leafy greens because I read this alarming... Really, a person should not read. This is my advice to everyone out there.
Did you find it on the internet?
I don't think so.
Oh, because then you could pretend it wasn't true.
No, actually, I think I read it. Well, yes, I did, but I read it. I read newspapers on the internet.
Oh, okay.
But it was a bona fide newspaper.
Okay.
But anyway, it was an article about how Americans often don't get enough iodine anymore because we don't use table salt like we used to.
Oh.
Which salt was iodized because everybody had iodine deficiencies, and they wanted to make sure that there was iodine.
That's a really good point.
And there was iodine added to everything, but we don't have. We have to make more of an effort now. And so I thought, you know, we don't eat enough leafy greens and all kinds of vegetables that might have iodine in them. So now I'm dedicated to that. And I made some kale the other night that was actually very good, but it takes a long time to cook kale too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just going to have it as a side veg, it takes a long time. Yeah. So it wasn't really, it had a lot of texture, but it was good in that I did it with some sautéed pepper bacon and some shallots and then apple cider.
So I don't dislike kale, but I also don't love it. But I also realize it's really, really good for me. I don't have, I wasn't really even in line when they were handing out retinas. And kale has something in it that hasn't been isolated in supplement form. And it has more than two times of this thing that I can't pronounce or remember, but more than two times of this thing than anything else on earth. And then spinach is second, but it's still a far second, 40% of what kale has. So I do try to eat kale. And so how I get around that thing is I buy a big thing of kale and I get it all chopped up and destemmed and I put it in the freezer. And so then, you know how if you froze a spinach leaf, it would just turn to absolute mush?
Yes.
It really, it breaks it down.
Okay.
It doesn't turn to mush at all. But then if I put it in soup, and that's where I eat most of my kale, if I put it in soup, then in the time it takes to cook the soup, it's still not it's not hard to chew. And so,
but it must still have some integrity, which spinach would not do. Under those circumstances.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you don't need to freeze spinach, but I mean, the kale, it really works for me. And so even I can saute it in omelets and stuff, and it just isn't, you know, how when you're having an omelet, you just don't want to work real hard at chewing it, you know?
Yeah. That's not the place.
Yeah. It's not a goal even of omelet making. And so...
Let's list the goals of omelet making.
Yes,
oh, my gosh.
Yes. It should not hurt your teeth.
Well, I'm going to... I really like kale. I really like chard. I really like a lot of that stuff. But it's not necessarily Tom's very favorite thing, but he does really like spinach. So when it comes to leafy greens that are not just standard salad greens... mostly what I would cook or use is spinach. And one of his favorite ways is just steamed spinach with pretty acid-forward vinaigrette and chopped hard-boiled egg or something.
Oh, that's almost a man salad. Just add some bacon.
And I could.
Yeah.
But I don't. But that is really good just warm. It's also really good cold. So it's a way to eat really a lot of spinach.
Yeah.
You know, it turns into nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So that's a good one. That's a really good one. So I need some sort of green veg on the side tonight when I do this pork. But that's the main thing. That's the main thing. Hey, I have a porridge question for you.
Porridge? But we are still on pork.
Okay, let's go with pork.
Okay. So I am going to rub mine with, I have pastes that I make up and I keep in the freezer. And the biggest one, of course, is basil. So I'll buy basil by the pound, take it off the stems, put it in the food processor, put some olive oil in there, and then I freeze it flat in a Ziploc bag and I just break off what I need. And so then I'll mix it with a little more oil. I've got some fresh thyme in the fridge. I'll put a lot of that in there, salt and pepper, and I'll rub that all over that. And I'm going to stick it on the grill. And then I baste it one more time with that stuff, about 3/4 of the way through so that it's pretty fresh tasting on the outside when it's done. And then I slice that up for sandwiches. And then at the same time, I'm just going to make one with some Chinese barbecue sauce on it on the grill at the same time. And then we'll eat that one probably tonight. And then the other one I'll slice up for sandwiches.
Yum. And so when you're making a sandwich.
Yeah. So I add a little bit of the basil that I have in the freezer to some mayo. And I whip it up, and then I slice it. you know what? I slice it either slabby or thin. I do it both ways.
Uh-huh.
But it just depends on how tender it turned out, because I cook it pretty low and I try to get it so it's kind of almost on the way to fall apart-y, you know?
Oh, okay.
But a lot of times that doesn't work, and then it's still got a lot of body, and so then I'll slice it in slabs. Or rather thin, but then otherwise it's in slabs. And then just some lettuce, whatever uh-huh. I have in the fridge, and then that basil mayo. And that's real good. I often, when I'm making that pork tenderloin that I make for sandwiches, I'll grill up some onions at the same time. So I'll keep those in the fridge, and then I'll put that in the sandwich.
I do really like grilled onions on almost anything.
Yeah.
And I had made some fajita-ish, taco-ish things the other night for dinner, and had some of the meat left over, which was really good and really tender. And last night I just made it in. I just sauteed up some onions and mushrooms. And
oh, what a good idea.
Put that leftover meat on a garlic buttered a roll, put it in the broiler for a second, and then put that meat and some Swiss cheese and those sauteed veg on, and it was pretty.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Seriously.
Yum. Are we getting hungry yet? We might be. I need to quickly remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And if you haven't, you simply must visit KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. And later, after you do, you will thank me.
So you said you had a porridge question.
Well, I'm just curious if you have porridge preferences.
No, and there's a big reason. I went to school in Northfield, Minnesota, and that's where the malto meal plant is. And so there was just that burnt corn smell the entire time, 4 years I was there. And so I believe that simply olfactorily, I have done my lifetime's allotment of porridge. And so really the only thing I like is oatmeal.
Yeah, that's really the only thing that we have.
Yeah,
is oatmeal. But recently, I've been veering off from rolled oats to steel.
Oh yeah, I love them steel cut. I love them. I love their texture better, and they're not as gummy. And then they have those quick cook steel cuts, and that's what I use because it only takes like 7 minutes instead of
30.
February to
it
cook
takes
them.
About yeah, 25-30. But I've been doing it the traditional way, and it doesn't. Because there's other things going on in the name of breakfast, mm-hmm. I can do that other stuff while they're burbling away over there. But I do really like the flavor and the mouthfeel of steel cut oats.
Yeah, I think they're delicious.
And we're not doing anything fancy. It's some raisins, either gold or black, mm-hmm. tossed in. That makes me. black raisins makes me think of fondly of a friend I had, a woman I had used to meet for lunch with when we lived in Hawaii. I loved her. She was a bona fide character. And just so, I just loved her so much. But we were living in Hawaii, and in Hawaii, everybody, I don't care how much money you do or don't have or where you live, you got cockroaches.
Yeah,
it's Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. And just like Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And so whenever we would order anything when we were out to lunch together, if it had raisins in it, she would look at me across the table and go, "Check it for legs." And I still remember that. Just like another friend we had in Texas who used to call carrot salad, carrot
raisin
salad.
Yep, with the raisins, yep.
Yeah, he always would call it before and after rabbit salad. People are so
brilliant.
Yes, people are so brilliant. Oy.
I remember being in one of those little hotels where it has like a little kitchenette, you know, in Florida, and I was making toaster, a bagel or something. I put the toaster down and all these antennas shot out the bottom.
God.
And I'm just like, oh, good Lord, give me an iceberg. Get me back home, you know.
Yeah. It's funny how you don't, it's not like you don't think about that stuff, but that visceral reaction to them after a while is like.
We don't have that here. We don't have snakes or bugs. We just don't have that kind of infestation or death worry thing, you know?
Yeah. Although, yeah. We do ants pretty well. And also, if you have cats and you let them out, you will have snakes and other,
yeah, that's
other
true.
Things in your house. I don't recommend letting cats out. The wildlife would appreciate it if you don't.
I remember the first time the dogs played tug a snake, and that was pretty gruesome.
Oh, God.
So sorry.
Oh, pets. Oh. Yipes.
Do you like polenta, though?
I love polenta. I love, love, love. I love grits, too.
Okay.
But I love polenta way more than I love pasta.
Okay. Oh, really? See, now here's another thing. So I went to school where there was malta meal, and then I worked in a USDA lab afterwards in a city where there was U.S. corn products. And so I think just that burnt corn smell, like for 8 solid years.
Does popcorn do that to you?
No. God, no. It's delicious.
Yeah. Okay. So you you're not prejudiced across the board.
No, just, no. Yeah. It's just that burnt corn.
You know, those kinds of things. Many, many, many years ago, I worked in an office in San Francisco. And it was down in a light industrial area on the top of a building. And we would have the windows open. And it was really a nice location. But there was a red licorice factory, a place where they made red licorice a couple blocks away, but the entire world smelled like red licorice. Sadly, that did not deter me. I love red licorice. And yes, I agree, red licorice is not licorice, but that's what we call it.
I know.
And also in Hayward, California, when I lived in San Leandro, the Campbell soup.
Oh, really?
Was not far away.
And did it smell?
It smelled like Campbell soup.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I never would have thought of that, but of course.
Yeah, of course it does. I don't know if it was, you know, if it was soup I was smelling or just cooked tomatoes or what it was, but that's mm-hmm. that was the prevailing atmosphere of the neighborhood. Yeah, that's funny. That's what happens when you live close to where things are being made.
Yep. Ruins it for life.
Or not.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been baking a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's holidays.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, boy. Whoop, whoop. Anyway. An easy thing to bake if you're supposed to bring something somewhere, of course, is bars. Make a pan of bars. And you can make something really pretty if you just make, like, 3 pans of bars. Like, if you made some brownies and if you made some, like, chocolate chip cookie bars, and then I don't know, something else, like maybe some gingerbread or pumpkin
blondies
bars,
maybe even.
Well, I think the blondies would look a lot like the brownie. Chocolate chip cookie bars.
They would.
But just something, you know, just or like you could make some like raspberry oatmeal bars or something like that. Just 3 things that look pretty different, and then you can just mix them up on a plate, and it just looks like a lot of variety, and it's not a lot of work, even though I guess making 3 things is what make the brownies from a mix, you know, work. But that's a pretty easy thing to make, and pretty much any bar you make is going to freeze. So, you know, just freeze half of it and serve half of it, and then you just pull it out of the freezer when you need it 2 days later because it's the holidays.
It's
somebody's
the holidays.
Coming over, you know.
Yeah. Maybe not so much anymore, but people are still getting together. But I know, talking to a friend recently about Thanksgiving, I was surprised at how many people I talked to prior to Thanksgiving who weren't doing a big thing anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
So
it is going a little bit by the wayside.
Yeah, the way that we used to celebrate in huge groups is more rare now.
Mm-hmm.
So
puts less pressure on the hostess.
There is no hostess at my house. If you're not coming over, you don't need a hostess.
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we cooked a turkey breast this year, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people who
much
have,
easier.
Yes, that's right. It is easier. So there's something lost and something gained.
Yeah, that's true.
When
that's
we
true.
Trade off those things. But I do have very fond memories of getting together with you and Dale and a whole bunch of people around a 20 top or
but,
something.
But you know what I was thinking, though, is it really isn't that different because you couldn't holler down that table. You had no idea what was going on 2/3 of that table. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were talking
to this. So it's still the people that are just closest to you. And so it still feels the same. It's just a lot less work.
Yeah, that's true. And whoever is hosting is, you know, doomed for days in advance and days after getting ready and cleaning up. So I don't necessarily miss it, but I really enjoyed it when it was happening.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I mostly enjoyed it because it was hardly ever at my house. So there are a lot of advantages, many advantages to not having a huge house.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh my gosh.
So well, I know you don't do holidays, but Christmas is a big meal.
Is it?
Yeah, don't you think Christmas breakfast too? I mean, if you're going to go all out and make yourself some sticky buns, that would be the morning to do it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or something, you know, yeasty and not fancy, but a decent amount of work.
Yeah. I believe in special meals, but not date-specific special meals.
I know.
So, you know.
Bah, humbug.
Not really. I don't think I have a... Well, I guess it is a matter of perception. But I don't think I have a bad attitude necessarily.
No, you
except
don't.
For some really stinky things I've said about holidays in the past in print. But it isn't really holiday specific. I believe in celebrating.
Yeah.
I just don't do it by the calendar, generally speaking. And that's more of a unconscious of the date sort of thing than that it is intention. And also the fact that I don't have... the remainder of my immediate family is my husband,
mm-hmm.
and we are in the house together, and that's a celebration, and we don't require turkey or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but I love. I don't want to get into any kind of politics thing, but generally speaking,
mm-hmm.
politics aside, I do really like New Year's.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I had a restaurant, that was the one that I wanted to celebrate at the restaurant with a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's something so...
festive.
Yes, and brand new.
Yeah.
And for some unjustifiable reason, a feeling that you reset and everything that might have gone wrong might be able to be fixed.
Yeah.
And you get to start over again. It's like going back to go and collecting your $200.
Without going to jail.
Yay!
Yay!
That is...
Well, and you know what? It's New Year's, you don't really spend it with family. You spend it with friends.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It's the family it's that you choose, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't have to deal with, you know, mental illness and substance abuse and working around all those things that, you know, the feral children...
Oh my gosh, our families are so fun.
But you know what I mean? You don't have to work around all that stuff because
I
don't choose friends with feral children. Just in my family.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Although I will say that I didn't really have that in my family when I had my family, but I did have... you know, a mom who was celebration centric.
Okay.
And because I'm not, that was always just exhausting.
Oh.
When it came to gift giving and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's been a coast ever since then. It's pretty nice.
Hey.
I do miss your mom though, and I use your recipes all the time. We are out of time.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Yay! It's true. This is our last show before the Happy New Year, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Yes. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, both of those days, or whatever you're celebrating. I hope you are healthy and happy, and we'll see you next year. Want to sing us out?
Okay. I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, I'm driving my cauliflower, driving a bushel of corn home with my Christmas tree and my Happy New Year's hat. Woohoo!